Hi, everybody in EN Penang. So glad to be with you. This is Pastor Josh. For those of you who don't remember me or are new, I was there in Penang in 2006 to 2008, and just so honored to be back with you, even virtually. Hey, I'm coming soon. We're working even this week to get our plans together to come see you guys maybe in June. Really excited to be with family again. Today, I want to start by honoring mothers and wish all the mothers out there Happy Mother's Day. For me, of course, the mother that I always want to start with is my own wife and the mother of my four children. And those are our family updated photo of them. As you can see, we're getting smaller. My kids are growing. And Jonathan, our eldest, Ellie, Ben, and Lily are there with us. And just appreciate my wife, Nani, who's been so patient with them, so loving with them. One of the things we've been talking about here in our church is the power of parents sharing their faith with their children. I think too often we've ceded the role of sharing Christ with our children to a children's ministry or kids' church is what we call it here. I think those things are partners that can help us. As someone who did children's ministry and was a children's pastor for more than a decade, I can tell you 1 hour on a weekend is probably not enough to show the love of Jesus to someone. And in fact, if they're not seeing Jesus lived out at home, the statistics even show this, they probably won't believe it as they get older. And so the role of parents to model Jesus to their kids is so massive. And so just thankful to my wife, Nani, who does that so well as my mom, Vicky. She's the white-haired one in this group. And she's the one who really modeled Christ to me and my brother and sister as we grew up. And so for us, we had these amazing models of what Jesus looks like. And that's the thing I want to talk about today. Why moms? God uses everything in this universe, I believe this, to reveal himself to us. There's some of those things have been tainted, some of those things have been stained, but the initial ideal reason for all of our existence is to glorify God, to reveal him to the world. How do moms do that? In the Bible, we talk a lot about God as Father, and Jesus came and he revealed God as Father. He communicated to God as Father. He used those terminologies like father and son to describe himself. So what is it about moms that reveals God to us in the world? And as I think about this, I think about what Jesus said, not about human moms, but about chicken moms. He says this in Matthew chapter 23. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her." So he's crying out to in frustration. The very people he's trying to reach out to sometimes reject him, sometimes fight against him, or sometimes aggressively against him. And he said this, "How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but you were not willing." And I think about that picture of a mother hen guarding and covering and using her own very life to cover her children. And as I was thinking about that, this is one of Nani and my favorite stories. It's the book called The Jungle Book. And there's this particular scene in The Jungle Book where you understand the power of safety and the power of security that comes from moms. And in this story, you hear about this little boy, Mowgli, who's found in the jungle, and he's taken into the pack. And the father wolf gives it to the mother wolf, and the mother wolf says, "He's part of our pack now." Well, here comes this giant tiger, Shere Khan, and he says, "Give me the man cub." And it's very interesting to me what happens next. The mother wolf. Now, if you look up the size of wolves and tigers, you'll notice that a tiger can be as much as a meter, a little bit more than a meter larger, longer than a wolf, and weigh 3 to 4 times as much as a wolf. Okay? So in other words, that tiger is way bigger than that wolf. But what does that mother wolf do? "Be gone. He's with our tribe. He's part of our pack now." And it says Shere Khan dared not challenge mother wolf. There's something about a mom and their ferocity in protecting their own children that even this giant tiger was like, "I'm not messing with that." I think there's something about that as children. When we're hurt, we run to mom. Why? There's a sense of safety there. There's a sense of security. That reveals God's love for us in the mom. There's sacrifice in mom. And this story comes from 1 Kings. It's kind of a strange story, but I think it also reveals the heart of mom to us. It says, "Now two women who were harlots came to a king and stood before him. And one said, 'This woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. And it happened on the third day after I had given birth, the woman also gave birth. We were together. No one was in the house with us except us two." So they're setting up the stage of this story. And they say, "And this woman's son died in the night because she had lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night, took my son while your maidservant slept, laid him in her bosom, and then laid the dead child in my bosom. In other words, okay, so now she's switching the dead son for the live son, right? So what a bizarre and kind of tragic story here. And then it goes on to say this. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed, it was not my son whom I had born. So I don't know if you've ever been caught in a situation like this where someone's lied to you, cheated you, deceived you, and you're stuck and you're looking for justice. It's one of the most frustrating positions to possibly be in. And that feeling of dishonor, of injustice, of oppression, of unfairness. It's something that personally I really struggle with when situations seem unfair or unjust to me. I don't know what it is. It makes me particularly angry. And so she's feeling that injustice, but about something very specific, the loss of her own child. This person has stolen her child. It's a major issue. So the other woman says, no, the living one's my son, the dead one's your son. So the first one says, no, the dead one is your son and the living one's my son. And so it says, thus they spoke before the king. So my guess is they're now yelling at each other. No, no, my son, no, my son, no, no, no. And they're arguing. So the king finally says, all right, this one says that this is my son who lives and your son is the dead one. And the other one says, no, your son is the dead one and my son is the living one. So he's basically restating the issue. And then the king says something very interesting. Bring me a sword. And they brought him a sword. And the king says, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Now, this is a strange command from the king, right? I don't see how this solves the problem at all. But the king, Solomon here, demonstrating his wisdom and that his wisdom is from God, has set these mothers up to reveal the truth. So this is what happens. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. And so right here we have the revealing of the heart of a mother, right? And Solomon already knew something. The real mom would sacrifice for her own child, even to her own hurt. Even if she had to lose everything, even if she was the one who had to live for the rest of her life knowing someone else was raising her own child, he knew, intrinsically he knew, that mom would not be willing to divide her own child. And so the king says as much, right? The king answered and says, give the first woman the living child and by no means kill it. She is the mother. That's the heart of a mom, willing to sacrifice, willing to do whatever it takes for the safety of her own child. And, you know, I was thinking about this in the context of probably the most famous mother in the Bible, who is sometimes called Mother Mary or Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we see this journey with her where imagine all the things she went through, being someone who has not lain with a man, and yet she becomes pregnant. And so that gives her a reputation, right? Joseph's ready to divorce her and needs a supernatural visitation from God to help him see and be revealed to him. No, no, she's okay. Go ahead and marry her. This is from the Holy Spirit. So she raises this unique child her whole life. She's thinking, this is God, this is the Messiah. She gets the revelation. She encourages him to go change water to wine, and we'll talk about that later. She does all these amazing things as a mom for her child, and now she's at a cross watching her own son be crucified. Watching her own son die, watching her own son face a torturous death, a painful death that goes on and on and on. And here's what's interesting. Everybody abandons, it says in the Bible, they all abandon him, right? But then just a few verses later, it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. There's something about mom. Her love doesn't shake. Her love is stable. Her love is not changing. And so why moms? Because moms show us something about love. They show us that the love that provides safety for the weak, for the needy, for those who lack safety. The love of mom is a love that sacrifices. You know, a lot of people can tell you, I love you. Where you really see it borne out or where it shows itself is in the ability to sacrifice. And then finally, moms show us that instability. It doesn't change. You know, again, a lot of people can tell you, I love you one day, and then they seem to hate you the next. Sometimes you're popular for a week or two, and then seasons change, and all of a sudden, no one's there for you. And you can think about the story of like the prodigal son. When he had lots of money, he had lots of friends. When he lost his money, he lost all his friends. Mom's not like that. Now, I say that, but the truth of the matter is some of you might be saying, look, my mother wasn't like that. For various reasons, maybe I was separated from my mom. I didn't even know my mother for various reasons and things that have happened, or painfully or sadly, maybe your mother's gone. She's not with you anymore. And I want to understand that and be sensitive to that. When we honor mothers, it's kind of tough because there are those exceptions to the rule where that situation only brings up pain. That situation only brings up difficulty for some. So I'm talking in some level about the ideal of mother, right? And the reason I'm talking about that is because, again, the ideal of mother actually reveals the heart of God to us. When God begins to describe his own heart for us, often he uses the imagery of mother. Many times growing up as someone who grew up away from my father, the idea of God as father was very attractive to me and helpful to me. On one hand, I struggled to understand it. On another hand, it filled a void, a need, a something in my heart that really longed for that father connection. And so when I would read in the Bible how God is like a father, it would minister to me, it would support me, it would strengthen me, it would encourage me. And I want to encourage you that maybe you haven't felt that love of a mother for some reason, for a season, or maybe even in your whole life. God himself can actually also provide the love of a mother for us. It says in Isaiah this, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born?" And let me tell you this, as someone who's had been in a home with children, and my wife has had four children, when a little baby cries, everything in the mom stops and becomes attentive to the cry of her child. The idea that a mother can forget her child, particularly a nursing mother forgetting her nursing baby, is a ridiculous idea. And so God uses that picture to say this, even if a mother could forget her nursing child, I will not forget you. I don't know if you've ever felt forgotten. We had a close friend go through a really painful loss. And in the first couple days and weeks after that loss, a lot of people checking in, how are you? How's everything? Do you need anything? But the reality is over time, people stop checking in. Maybe they get busy with other things in life. Maybe they don't really know what to say. Maybe they just get distracted by their own challenges. And that person felt very forgotten. I would like to encourage you this. God doesn't forget you. God's never forgotten you. He won't forget you. He is attentive to your cry. He does care about your situation. He is praying for you if no one else is. I love that verse in Hebrews where it says, he lives to make intercession for us. Jesus is actually praying for us. Can you imagine that? God is praying to God for us. It doesn't totally make sense in my mind, but it makes me very encouraged as a human being in my heart that God cares about me, and he cares about the issues in my life, and he's praying for the issues in my life, and he's helping me as like it says here, like a mother who couldn't forget her child, God can't forget us. Not only will he not forget us and have compassion on us and have mercy on us, and I love that it says, have no compassion on the child. Of course you'll have compassion on the child. So God will have compassion on us. It goes on in Isaiah to say this at the end of it, can as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. It's such a pretty picture of the comfort of God. You know, some people try to comfort you and it's not really comfortable. Some people try to comfort you and it just makes you feel bad. I remember a person basically implying during, again, the same friend who I'm thinking of, and I'm trying to be sensitive not to share too many details. Another well-meaning friend came up to them and was kind of telling them how to mourn their loss. And I think the person was doing this in an attempt to comfort, but it became very awkward. Because the reality is you don't tell someone else how they're supposed to mourn. You don't tell someone else what they're supposed to do. You're supposed to be there for them, not demand of them. And when I look at this, I think of a mother comforting us. You know what we feel? Comforted. And I love God's promise here. God will have compassion on us. God will comfort us. And the way he will comfort us will actually make us be comforted. We will feel the change. You know why? Because he knows our heart. He knows what we need. He knows how to speak to us individually. And so God, like a good mother, here is what's being described. God as a good mother is going to love us and comfort us. And I want to take a moment and mention that. You know, the Bible says in Genesis that God made them male and female in the image of God. And because so much of the imagery that we use in scripture is God as Father, and I think that's important to remember. He reveals himself as Father. We can call him Father. He reveals that Jesus was a male human being on earth and called himself Son and revealed himself as Son. And I think those are important things for us to capture and be thankful for and believe for and receive. But remember that both male and female are made in the image of God. It's not like male's made in the image of God and female's made in the image of man. Male and female are made in the image of God. And so all of the different stylings and personalities and abilities and even communication of both male and female, when they're being done in truth and in love and in compassion, they reveal actually God to us. And so that's something that we can embrace as we think about mothers and how they reveal the compassion of God, the comfort of God. And then a very interesting thing, sometimes that calling out of God. You know, here I picture that mother hen who's guarding you with her wing, maybe not a hen, but let's now think about an eagle or another mother like a bird, is sometimes the same wing that's pushing you out of the nest to encourage you to fly. And on the third day, there was a wedding in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. So now this is John's position as he sets up the revealing of Jesus as God, the revealing of Jesus as the divine one, the revealing of Jesus as Savior. Here's how he starts it. The mother of Jesus is involved in this. Both Jesus and his disciples are invited to this wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus says to Jesus, they have no wine. Now, funny reaction by Jesus. He says, woman, what does this concern have to do with me? Now, again, I want to stop here for a second. I've had many people question, why did God call his own mom woman? Oh, it's so offensive and so wrong. There's nothing in Greek, there's nothing culturally speaking that would have implied that he said this in a disrespectful, dishonoring way. If you're not sure about that, I would encourage you to remember that one of the commandments is to honor your father and mother. Jesus never sinned. He never dishonored his father or mother. Okay? He always honored his father and mother because he's God. So just to be abundantly clear, he's not saying this in a dishonoring way. We might say it this way in our vernacular, madam or ma'am. What does this concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. So Jesus is being God saying, hey, look, this is not my time yet, but also being humble and honoring to his mother. The mother's response is hilarious to me. Go do whatever he says. In other words, he basically says, it's not time for me to do anything. She completely ignores him and goes, now go help them. Implicitly, right? Hey, whatever he says to do, go do it. In other words, she's absolutely convinced my son is going to address this issue and he's going to step out and do his work. See, the mother believes in the purpose of her son. She believes in the calling of her son. My son is a savior. My son is a fixer. My son is a healer. My son takes things that are wrong and makes them right. And she believes it enough that she believes my son is going to take water and turn it to wine. Now, some moms believe that and you end up on American Idol with people who can't sing, whose moms told them they can sing. Okay, that's not always the best move. But what we see here is a mom who believes so much in the calling of her son that she's able to call it forth in her actions. And that's exactly what John says in a summary of this miracle. He says these are the beginning of the signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. He manifested his glory. He showed his goodness and his power and his call to his disciples, and they believed in him. Mom believing in even God himself, believing in Jesus, calling him out to what he's called to do. So moms show us safety. They show us sacrifice. They show us stability. They give us in the ideal setting, and I know, again, not everyone's has this in fullness, but these are the purposes of mom, if you will, to give compassion, to give comfort, and then finally, to give calling. You know, that balances, because that compassion, comfort, safety, sacrifice is not supposed to be to hold us forever. There's a point at which it's now to go out. And that's what I want to finish on as we wrap up our time together on Mother's Day is this. How should we respond to our moms, particularly as we grow up? When you're young, be thankful, receive, learn, see her as the model of what goodness and love and wisdom are for us. But as we get older, you know, sometimes I was like this as I got into my teen years and young adult years. I wanted to sort of spread my own wings and be my own man and do my own things. And sometimes I would do that well. Other times I would do that in a way that's not very helpful to my mom or dishonoring even to my mom. What the Bible teaches us is that we can grow up and be men and be women, and yet at the same time do this, honor our father and our mother. Why do we want to do that? So that our days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. We will prosper when we honor our parents. And you know, one of the things, ways to do that is you can highlight and focus on and honor the things that are good. You don't have to pretend things that aren't so good are good. I was just watching a Marvel show called Moon Knight. I'm not necessarily suggesting that for everybody, but it's addressing the challenge of interaction with family members who may be practicing abusive actions. And how in the world could you honor someone doing those kind of things? I think that's something that's much more complex and difficult to communicate in a very simple message. I'm speaking more by principle. What we can always do is honor at whatever level. It doesn't mean we have to agree with every action. It doesn't mean as parents, every action we do is right. I think as parents, if we're smart, we'd be honest and say, you know, as a father, I haven't done everything that's right. As a mother, I haven't done everything that's right. And in humility, also be willing to ask forgiveness of our children. That positions them well to be able to honor us because they don't have to feel like we're living in a pretend world or some idealized world where we don't understand we ourselves make mistakes as well. Now, as children, our responsibility shifts. And I'm talking about whether we're children who are child age or myself. I'm 45, but I'm still my mother's child, right? What is my responsibility as a 45-year-old to my mother? Honor her. How can I honor her? Well, by showing respect and praise in my words. In Proverbs 31, it says this, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. You know, what we choose to say about honoring our mother and father and how we honor our mother and father with our mouth is so critical. Jesus talks a lot about the power of our words. You know, it's easy to point out what people did wrong. It's hard sometimes to find the good and communicate and honor. People love, for some reason, listening to gossip. People love, for some reason, listening to the negative. If you go online, that's why it's so dangerous. Social media is a cesspool of criticism and negativity, often. Now, it doesn't have to be. It can be a place where we choose to use our words to praise and bless and honor. When you do that, I believe you reap what you sow. If we sow honor, if we sow respect, if we sow praises, if we sow words of life, I believe in time that's what we'll reap. We'll create a culture that's speaking positively rather than negatively. That can work in your home, that can work in your family, that can work in your whole nation. Can we be a people who start working and moving towards a position where rather than pointing out all the problems of everyone, we're people who speak blessing and speak life? Now, when Jesus saw his mother and his disciple whom he loved standing nearby. Now, here's Jesus. He's on a cross. He's dying. He's fighting to breathe as he slowly suffocates in his own eternal bleeding. That's a very serious situation to be facing. He looks down. He sees his mother and he says something beautiful. Woman, behold your son. And he says to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Here's the reality. Jesus is literally dying. And you know what's on his heart? You know what's on his mind? Let me make sure my mother is cared for. Let me make sure my family responsibilities are handled. Let me make sure that I'm thinking about those in need. Because now it's shifted, right? In different seasons, this relationship with mother shifts. My own mother went from being the one taken care of by my grandma, Mimi, we call her, to being the one who took care of Mimi for over a decade. Until we needed to put her in more of a care facility due to needs that she had at that time. But even still now, her needs are being met by the siblings, the children, rather than the mom meeting the needs of the children are meeting the needs of the mother. Those seasons shift, right? And what I see here from Jesus is a model for us. Discerning the season you're in, receiving the grace of God to address the needs you might have. Now, if you think of Jesus, you want to talk about a guy who didn't have a lot of resources at the moment. He's literally dying. He can't move. He's nailed to a cross. He can't go. And now he's God. He could call down angels and he could do all those things. But as a human, he's lost everything. And so from that position of lack of resource, he looks down and sees relationship. And he addresses the needs of others. And in this case, the need of his mother before the needs of his own. I think that's the model that we see when we look at mothers who model for us the safety, the sacrifice, the stability that comes from someone who really loves you. when they give us that compassion, that comfort, that calling. These are things that God ultimately does through the people placed in our lives. Maybe our mothers did those perfectly. Maybe our mothers did those not particularly well. We can still respond by honoring our mom. And that's why we have this day. Hey, we honor you. Sure, any of us could point out things that weren't perfect, but can't we look back and go, here's where I see God in how you acted towards me. We can praise the things she did well. You know, for some of us, maybe, hey, you're a really great cook. You know, it's funny to listen to some people praise the mom. The things that the child values aren't always the thing that the mom would necessarily value. But we can find those things. And as we choose to honor, as we choose to praise, that creates a culture. And then ultimately, one of the great ways we reveal Jesus to others, as we care for mom, as we care for our own family. You know, James talks about this, other place talk about this. Our inability to care for our own actually causes people to question God. And Jesus says, you can't make the word of God to none effect with your traditions. When we say honor your father and mother, and then you say, well, I'm going to give it to the church instead, God says that's dishonoring. We will not be a people, and this is one of the things that makes me proud to be part of Every Nation as a global movement. I've been in Penang, I've been in Manila, I'm here in Singapore. The reason I love our global movement is one of the things Steve Merle said very early, and this is what attracted me to this movement. A lot of movements honor Jesus. A lot of movements are missional. A lot of movements care about reaching the next generation. All those things are wonderful. All those distinctives are wonderful. The thing that got me is, I'll remember it so clearly, is him talking about going to a conference where a guy told him he sacrificed his family in order to build his church. And he wrote down on a piece of paper this, that we will not sacrifice our families on the altar of ministry success. I believe that's the heart of God. If discipleship is really relationship, if the greatest call in our life is to love God and love others, we have to start at the home. If we can't even love our own spouse, our own parents, our own children, our own siblings, our own family, how can we hope to export love to the rest of the world? We will not sacrifice our families on the altar of some ministry success. We will build our families, and that will become, by God's grace, and that will become the model that shines Jesus to the world. I want to pray for families now as we close. Lord, I just thank you for family. God, all of us are in different places. Some of us, our families are getting older and the season shifts. Some of us are in the season of just starting our families. Some of us are looking forward to starting families. I pray we would settle in our hearts that we will honor you in whatever season we're in. For those who have lost their parents, I pray for your comfort even now. I pray forgiveness would flow. I pray that if there's anything we need to release in forgiveness, we would release it. And we would choose from this day forward to speak blessing, to speak honor, to speak goodness of our parents and particularly our mothers. God, that we'd understand that ultimately the picture of mother is the picture of your compassionate heart for us, your comfort for us, your love for us, and the fact that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. God, ultimately, you're the perfect one who shows love perfectly. We all need your help to love better. So we receive it now. We receive your love, we receive your comfort, and we pray you would empower us to honor, to praise, and to care well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, Ian Penang.